Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? Pretty well. I'm glad you made it in from the storm. It's been raining quite a bit this morning. Whew. Well, as you may know, we have been in a series called Love Well. And the goal of the series was to look at how God has equipped us with an abundant amount of love, a resource, as you may put it, a well that we are able to draw from and use in our own lives to be a blessing to other people. First week, Pastor Kyle talked about all we need is love and how in all our situations in life, we must first approach them in love and pray and see how can we act Christ-like in that situation. Last week, Pastor Kathy talked about loving our enemies and how it's so easy to love those who are just like us or the people that we get along with, but true growth and joy comes in stepping out of that box and actually loving people who wrong us or that we may not agree with or who have hurt us. So this week, as we go into the last week of the series, I wanted to take a different approach so far. The love I want to talk about is loving our friends. My title today, I call it Forgotten Love, the Revival of Phileo. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessing that we have just to be here gathered as a body. Lord, I pray that you will bless us in this time as we hear from your word. I pray that you would speak through me, Father God. Let only your truth come from my lips. Father, Lord, I pray as we end this series that we continue to put these things that we have learned to practice, Father God, not just hear them and leave them here in the church, but that we take them out with us and that we continue to grow to be more like you and be a blessing to those around us. So, Lord, open our ears, open our hearts, and let us hear what you have to say this morning, Father God. We love you and praise you and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I dive in, would you please join me in welcoming all the people who are watching our Wyoming campus, our Nagpur campus, and also those at the Juvenile Detention Center. We're so glad that they are joining us. So I want to start by touching on something that Pastor Kathy talked about last week. In her message, she started by talking about the different types of love that are in the Bible. As she said, in our world today, we only have one term of love. We just use the word love, but it has different meanings. But back in the time, in Greeks, they understood that there was different ways of love. God did not just have just one love, but there are different types of love. So she talked about the three main ones that are in the Bible, eros, agape, and phileo. And I just wanted to reiterate on those just to refresh you as we dive in today. So the first one was eros, which is, it's a desire or longing, which basically, it's where we get the word erotic from, and it means physical attraction. So this is the love that you have for your spouse. It is a marital type of love. And just to give you a passage to think about that, Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, enjoy life with your wife whom you love. And the great thing about learning these terms is that once you are familiar with them, when you go back and read scripture, you're able, by process of elimination, you can figure out what type of love God is using in that passage. So here we have, enjoy life with your wife whom you love. Obviously, because that is wife, that's a spouse, that's a marital type of love. That's eros love. Then there's agape love, which is divine love, the love that God has for Christ and for us, the whole human race. It's also the love that God calls for us as Christians to have for other lost people, to have the same love for them that he has for us. Perfect verse for this, John 3:16, which Pastor Tara talked about a few weeks back. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Now there you can see the word loved, and by elimination you can tell, well, it's not a marital love. This is agape love. This is God's love, the love that he had for us and for his only son. And the third one is phileo love, and that's the one I want to focus on today. It's friendly love, the strong feelings we have for a best friend. And the key point is that it's non-sexual. It is a deep intimacy, but there are no intimate sexual feelings attached to it. It's the love that Christians, us as Christian brothers and sisters, tend to have for one another. And just as a side note, it's also where the term, the word Philadelphia comes from. It actually comes, Philadelphia actually means brotherly love, which is why it is nicknamed City of Brotherly Love. And the passage for an example of this is the text we're going to be in today. It's Romans 12, verse 9 through 10. Romans 12, 9 through 10. And it reads like this. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So as I mentioned, the love used in this text is phileo love. It's friendship love. But once you learn the different types of love that are in the Bible and learn that phileo love is used in this verse, it brings up the question, am I truly loving my friends the way that God wants me to? As I've meditated on this text throughout the week, I feel like there's three main words that Paul emphasizes in this text. Sincere, devoted, and honor. And I feel that if we look into those words and dive into them, it can help explain to us the type of love that we're called to have for our brothers and sisters. So the first point I want to talk about in the first word is sincere. You cannot sincerely love someone if you do not know how to love. The thing about learning these terms is that without them, we make these assumptions of what we think love is. If love is grouped into one word, but we realize in our own lives that we love people in different ways. There's different loves that we experience throughout our lives. So being able to categorize them helps us process and know what type of love we're feeling in this situation. But if you don't truly know what it means to love a friend, how could you truly live it out? What really inspired me and what I feel God put on my heart to talk about this is, a couple months back, I watched a video about an article by a woman named D.C. McAllister. She's a journalist for a blog called The Federalist. And in it, she had an article called How to Stop Over-Sexualizing Everything. And I just want to share with you the intro to her article, just to see where she was coming from. This is how it goes. She said, "Bye, I love you," I said as I hung up the phone. My 15-year-old daughter was in the car at the time and asked who I was talking to. "My friend Leslie from Texas." "A woman?" she said. "That's just weird, Mom." I laughed. "No, it's not. She's my friend, and I do love her very much. Why shouldn't I tell her that?" My daughter just shook her head and said, "It's kind of gay, don't you think?" "No, it's not gay. I have friends I kiss too, on the lips. And I hug them, and I get excited when I see them. I adore them, and I'm devoted to them. I have friends who captivate me with their beauty and intelligence. I tell them so. I tell them I think they're beautiful and amazing. It's nothing sexual. It's phileo." "What's phileo?" she asked. "It's friendship love," I explained. "It's passionate, but not like erotic love. It's wonderful and stimulating. It's probably the best kind of love when you really experience it, but so few of us do." She shook her head again. "Mom, you're weird." I love her daughter's reaction, right? Because that's like the typical response in our culture today. She was speaking truth. She loved her friends in a non-sexual way, in an intimate way, but immediately her daughter, because it was someone of the same gender, looked at it as, "That's kind of gay." That was her response. And when I read that part in the article, and her main premise is how it's more pertaining to youth and how our culture now, because we over-sexualize everything, it's hurting our youth because they don't know how to express their true feelings. They're confused with how they're feeling because everything is over-sexualized. But as I took her idea and I looked into scripture and the world around us, I realized it's not just youth, but it affects adults, men and women as well. So when we realize that our culture has been shifted to this over-sexualization of everything and that we have this lack of what friendship love really is, it starts to think and wonder, where did this come from? How did we get to this point? And to figure that out, we got to look back a little ways to the Puritan era in the early 1600s and 1700s. See, the Puritans were a group of English Reformed Protestants that sought to purify the Church of England from all Roman Catholic practices. So basically, they believed that the Catholic Church was becoming more man-focused instead of God-focused. So they went on their own route to try and restore that and get back to focusing on God, which it's a noble cause. That makes perfect sense. You know, we're not supposed to be man-centered. We're supposed to focus on God. But the problem with the Puritans is that they kind of took things a little too far. You know, to prevent themselves from falling into sin or going into more man-made practices, They really suppressed all emotion and passions and desires that they had, because they believed all passions were only paths that led to sin and to failure. So they would really suppress emotions, all desires, passions that they would have, they would suppress those and not act on them or live them out or express them, because they thought that they would lead to evil things. And eventually that leaked over in our culture, and we as well, we started to grow up with, you know, we really didn't express how we feel, we really didn't say I love you, we didn't show too much intimacy in public. We kind of refrained from that. We kept everything private because we wanted to keep our feelings suppressed. And you can see this as it went into our culture throughout the years. Here's a picture coming up. You may notice this. All you I Love Lucy fans. There you go. You know, I used to watch the show when I was younger, when it used to rerun. But as you notice in this picture, it's interesting that here's a married couple and they are sleeping in separate beds. And this is what was the norm back in those days. Because we had these suppressed feelings, we did not want to show anything sexual in a matter, even if it was God-ordained, the beauty of marriage. They did not want to display those things in public or show them to the world, because we taught ourselves to be suppressed. We didn't want to show those feelings. It actually wasn't until the Brady Bunch in 1969 that they actually first showed a couple in one bed. And that was just a reflection of the Puritan influence. But then something interesting happened. As time went on and we went from one extreme, we didn't get back to the middle and live in the tension. We decided to jump from one extreme all the way to the other, where eventually people started rebelling and acting on their sexual desires or living out their passions or expressing them, and we went from suppressing to over-sexualizing everything. I mean, you know this now. I mean, from commercials and ads and TV shows, we make things sexualized that have nothing to do with sex. And that is the culture that we live in. Look at this other ad. This is an interesting one. This is an ad for BMW. And I'll give you $500 if you can spot a car. Trick question, there's not one. And it's interesting. There's no vehicle. If you just saw this picture without the symbol, you wouldn't even know what it was about. And what shocks me the most is the text that's in the ad. It says, "You're not the first, but do you really care?" Like, really? Not only does it have nothing to do with cars, but it just shows how our culture views sex and purity in itself. This is the point that we've got to in our culture. We went from suppressing everything to over-sexualizing everything. You know, there's always that famous quote, "sex sells." And businesses have clearly taken that idea, and as you can see from that ad, but the truth is it doesn't. It hurts more than helps. I love this quote from Jeffrey Richards. He says, "Sex sells only if you're selling sex." Because to most people, they'll look at that ad and they won't think, oh, that was a BMW company, that was for a car for them. No, they'll just think about the woman. And all it is another tool to help someone stumble and fall into sin. So we went from suppressing everything to over-sexualizing everything. And in the midst of that, phileo friendship love got lost. It never has been resurrected. We kept that suppressed with the Puritanism, and we haven't revived it. So now we have these situations where we grow up in this culture where we can't express how we feel with our friends, first of all, because we don't know how. We can't sincerely love our friends because we as ourselves have grown up ignorant, knowing that there actually is a third option and that there is a justified way that we love our friends and express our emotions to them. So first of all, it has to be sincere. The second word, devoted. Our ability to be devoted to one another is based on our understanding of God's word. If we want, we can think we know what it means to be devoted to someone. But it's only distorted, and we're only leaning on our own understanding. I mean, do you ever think that you're devoted to your friends? That you respect them, that you love them, that you're loyal to them? Scripture is our foundation of what it means not only to love, but to be devoted to one another. Listen to some examples from Scripture of showing devotion. Romans 15:7. "Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God." John 13:34-35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In our over-sexualized culture, it's hard for us to be devoted to our friends when we have a distorted view of love. So as with all things, we must go back to Scripture. That is where we get our ideas and our teachings from. But see, the tension with that is that if we're not aware of phileo love and we don't apply it into our lives, we can twist Scripture and use it to fit our own agendas. Context is very important when we view Scripture. It's one of the highest things that we must be aware of. We must always look at why it was written, when it was written, and who it was written to. But the problem in our culture, as with the phileo love, is that when we get in instances such as with homosexuality, there are Christians who literally are like, I am a Christian, but I am gay. And the problem is they need to look to Scripture to find a way to justify their actions, how they're feeling. When actuality, their feelings may be rooted in phileo love, but they don't know about it, so they don't know how to express how they're feeling. If there's a guy who has a friend and he feels intimate about him in a non-sexual way, but he has these feelings about him, he feels good being around him, he's excited when around him, they laugh, they have fun, he may have these feelings and he may not know what they mean. But in our culture, he could ask a friend of his who doesn't know any better and say, you know, hey, I got this, you know, my friend such and such, we've been having great times and I think I love him. And it may be genuine friendship love. But if we don't know the difference, they may easily say, you know what, I think you might be gay. Because if you have these feelings, obviously that must be the case. And then they end up walking down this path away from the truth because they don't know any better, because our culture doesn't teach it. Our culture teaches one or the other. It's either eros, it's either sexual, or it's agape. You're just loving people. People that you don't know, lost people. But when it comes to friends, that's when we fall short. So this person who has these feelings, if they're a Christian, and they know in the Bible that it says it's wrong, they must find a way to justify what they're feeling. And there are people who do this. They take things out of context and find a way to justify what they're going through. It's just some examples of things that I've heard. And these are actual claims by people of how they believe that there's homosexuality in the Bible. For example, Judas kissing Jesus on the cheek when he betrayed him. David and Jonathan, the fact that David even says that the love he's had for Jonathan is more than he's ever had with a woman. People look at that and say, clearly that's a sign of homosexuality. Paul and Timothy, the relationship that they had. Jesus calling John the disciple he loved and leaving his mother with him. Some believe the thorn that was in Paul's side was him battling with homosexuality. Anything that you want, if we're honest, we can make Scripture say whatever we want it to. If we take it out of context, if we try to make it fit our own agenda, we can make it say anything that we want it to, instead of looking for the truth. So we cannot be truly devoted to one another and our friends in love if we don't go start in God's Word. It's God's Word that teaches us what that love means in the first place. He created these different types of love. So shouldn't we go to the main source? The last word is honor. Phileo love allows us to put others before ourselves and truly express how we feel. Transparency is an indication or a factor of honoring someone, articulating how you feel about them. I don't know if you ever thought about this way, but if you don't generally tell someone that you love or that you care about how you feel, in a way you're dishonoring them because you're not giving them the recognition that they deserve, letting them truly know how you feel about them and how they make you feel. And we see that more so in the American culture than any other. Now, there's some other cultures. It's not just here in America. There's other places around the world. But obviously, it seems that it's really central here, that we're so inclined to not express our own feelings. They're always looked at in negative ways if it's someone of the same gender. And it affects different type of people. It can affect male and female friends. I remember growing up, I always had this key phrase that I always heard around me, and I believed it, that a guy and a girl could never actually be friends. There was always something hidden. And it was like, oh, well, if the guy doesn't like the girl doesn't like the guy, then one of them must be gay. That was always the thing. Because you'd always think, well, there's got to be this sexual tension. There's always this attraction that has to be there. But that was my ignorant thinking and not recognizing that it doesn't have to be that way. There generally can be guys and girls who are friends in a phileo type of way. I remember my first year of college, one time I was in the cafeteria, and, you know, it was kind of new for me. It's a new environment, you know, going to a Christian college, you know, being around Christians all the time. It wasn't what I was used to. And I remember sitting there, and I was with some friends, and we're talking, and I had a pair of friends there. They were dating. It was a guy and a girl, so they're sitting there, we're talking, and one of their friends came up and just started giving the dude's girlfriend a back rub. And I'm looking like, what are you doing? Like, that's his girlfriend. And the dude is just still talking, laughing, everyone's smiling, having a good time. And I'm like, dude, he's massaging your girlfriend. And they didn't care. And I was like, I can't believe this. But it's because they didn't have that tension. They recognized that there is just genuinely friendship love. And that was something new to me. I'd never seen it. Other times I would see, we'd be at the lunch table or anywhere in our dorms hanging out, and other guys would come up behind their friends and start giving them neck rubs. And I look, I'm like, man, where am I at? This is so weird. Like, I'm not used to seeing this. Because instantly my mind would go to, okay, there's something going on between those two. That's more than friendship, because they're touching. And that just, it showed my ignorance of where I was at, the limit of love that I've experienced in my life and that I recognized. They generally loved each other as friends, and they were expressing it in that manner. For females, it's not as bad. I'd definitely say our culture is more accepting. If you see two females walking down the street holding hands, you'd probably be like, yeah, they could be friends, I could see that. But if it's two guys holding hands walking down the street, I mean, let's be honest. People immediately going, yeah, there they go, those people. Men, we have it hard in this country. I'm going to be honest. We got it tough. We're brought up to be these emotionless, tough guys. Don't cry. Don't show any emotion. Make the money for the household, and, you know, you can't show too much affection. That's how we're groomed here. Some things that American men won't do. We won't hold hands. You won't see that. Kiss on the cheek. You won't see that. Hug. I know we give our little, like, what's up hug, you know, a little dap with a little quick half second. But when's the time you last, like, embraced somebody? Like, deeply embraced your friend and just told him I love you. You don't see that too often. Sit right next to each other. You know, you always do that, like the movie theater rule. You have that. I know I'm not the only one. You sit down with your friends, there's got to be a gap. Because, you know, I don't want people to think that we're together. Look, some of you guys are doing it in church right this morning. I see some gaps. Mm-mm-mm. Y'all need to get closer. Let's get closer. But we see in other parts of the world, this isn't the case. In Egypt, men walk hand in hand all the time. Not only because it's the norm, but it's also efficient because there's huge crowds of people all the time and they don't want to get separated. They hold hands and lock arms so they can stay together. In Israel, men hold hands. In the Sudan, men hold hands. In Ethiopia, male friends even feed each other by hand. That's a new one right there. Some of you, you know, you might go to B-Dubs today this afternoon. You want to feed them a hot wing? Just go ahead, break the mold. You know, that's... But as I was processing all this, I realized, you know, in actuality, we do live in a homophobic culture. But it's not homophobic in the sense that we hate gay people or are afraid of them. But it's a homophobic culture because we're afraid of how people will perceive our actions. Admittedly, I've had times I'll be in public with a friend and I want to say I love you, but maybe I'm thinking, well, people think I'm gay because I say that. In our culture, it's limiting us from showing our true love to our friends, the love that God ordained for us to have in the first place. There's a whole side of this that God created that we are missing out on. There is a true intimacy that God has planned and created for us to experience with friends. We already have that love and relationship that we have with our spouse. We have that love that we have for lost people when we genuinely want to be the hands and feet of Christ. But when it comes to our friends, we are leaving them behind because we are afraid of what other people think. And we are raised in a culture where that's not how you show love. We see it all throughout the Bible. Jesus continuously showed us how to love people. In those times, they didn't care what people thought. They knew in their heart what they believed and how they felt about that person. We can't let those things limit us and hold us back from truly expressing to people that we care about the most, I love you. You mean so much to me. You helped me through this situation. I couldn't have been there without you. Truly, I love you. Now, I'm not saying we have to get some radical change and just start being like the rest of the world. You know, man, I'm not saying you have to drive over to your best friend's house after this and come in, he's having lunch with his kids, and just say, man, I love you. And just hug him, give him a kiss on the cheek. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we can't be intimidated by the culture and the way that we've grown up and things around us, let it limit and hinder us from deepening our friendship relationships. They are important, vital things that God has called to have us to have in our lives. They are blessings just ready for the taking. But if we continue to have these fears and being afraid to express ourselves and truly love on our friends, then that only hinders us. And it's not. And there's more benefits. It's not just friendship. Having stronger friendships, it can have less stress because you finally have someone you can open up to. More endearment that you feel that you can truly express your feelings more in other areas because you're able to open up and truly let your friends know how you feel about them. There's so many blessings upon it. Stronger relationships is just one small part. But God calls us to grow in these ways. We're meant to have meaning, loving relationships with our friends. Especially with the recent events that have been going on in our world, all the tragic events, now more than ever, we need to cling tight to our friends. As we move away from hate and go towards love, now's the time we need to embrace our brothers and sisters and say, I love you, truly. You mean so much to me. I love you. The things you've helped me through, I love you. We can't be afraid to express those words. This is a crucial time. This is a crucial time for us to truly show the love of Christ, not just to our spouse, not just to those who don't know God, but to our friends as well. Because if we're not careful, we can continue to be numb to this issue, and we're missing out on the blessing that God has in store right in front of us. If we just open up and love on people and let other people love us. So once again, just to repeat that text, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. The question I have for today is this. Do your friends know how much you love them? Do they truly know? Can you say without a doubt, yes, my friends know that I love them? Or have you been cautious about it? Have you been worried about what people around you may think? Don't be. People need to hear that you love them. We need to know that we are loved. We've not called into this world to be isolated human beings. We're meant to be in community and loving relationships with one another. People not only need to be loved, but we need to know that we are loved. People that are close to you need to know that they are loved. When's the last time you told them? When's the last time you truly embraced your friend in a hug and just let them know that you love them? Gave them a compliment. Let them know how much they mean to you. It's through those actions that we continue to grow in our relationships and realize the blessing God has in store for us. We must not forget phileo love. It is vitally important. And just as McAllister said in her article, most people don't experience it in their life, but it's one of the best feelings in the world. So let's not miss out. Amen? Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that we have to come together. Lord, I thank you for the love that you have given us. I thank you for your creation of love. The love that you've given to us by giving us your one and only Son. The love that we are able to have with our spouses, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the love that we can have with our friends. Lord, this world wants us to suppress our feelings, to not show love, to worry about what people think. But Lord, all we care about is what is in your word. What have you called us to do? You have called us to love on everyone, to fight hate with love. We need to embrace people amongst us, whether their skin tone, beliefs, or their gender. It doesn't matter. We are called to love, Father God. And we know in all your mightiness and your glory, you have created this not just for you to be glorified, because you love us and you want us to reap the benefits. There's such blessing in these truths. If we just open up and engage in relationships with these people, with our friends, to grow in intimacy, to truly love on them. Lord, thank you for this time. Help us to put this into practice and not get out the door and then think, oh, we're back to the culture. I'm worried about what people think. I don't want to express these feelings. No, don't let us miss out on this blessing, Lord. Continue to prompt us with your Holy Spirit throughout the days. We love you and praise you and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.